there. Please stand or take whatever posture works best for you in honor of the gospel. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. No one knows the day or hour that these things will take place, not the spirit messengers from the spirit world above, not even Creator's own Son, but only the Great Spirit, who is our Father from above, knows. When the true human being comes, it will be like it was in the days before the great flood, in the times of the one who rests. In those days, the people were eating and drinking and getting married until the day that one who rests entered the great wooden canoe. Yeah, that's funny. No one knew what was happening until the floodwaters came, washed them away, and drowned them all. It will be the same when the true human being appears. During that time, two men will be working in the field. One will be taken away and the other left. So be on the lookout, because you never know when your honored chief will arrive. But know this, if the elder of a family had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and stopped the thief from breaking in. Just like this elder, you must be ready, for the true human being will not come at the time you expect him to. The word of the Lord. It's also junior worship. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Let me say thank you to the Advent crew who set up our Advent decorations. Thanks for coming out. We're coming in here, and I don't know if you know this, but we have a tree that won't fall over now because there's a great come on now. No? Testing? Here we go. There we go. Okay. Well, for those on Zoom, I was just thanking the people who set up for Advent. And Danielle and Aniston for lighting our first candle of the year. And Melinda for your prayer. Thank you. Boy, we were listening to that song, and it's one of those moments where I was that Ryan and Delaney were just singing. I was thinking, we got to put special songs after the sermon. You know, sometimes they undo me a little bit. I look over, and Lisa's crying, and I'm like, oh, come on. But man, it hit me. In a difficult conversation full of grace, that's where I find hope. Amen. Good words. Thanks for that. Okay, the true human being is coming. Like a thief in the night. I promise you, I want to give you bright and cheery good news today. Wendy, I know you felt it when you were reading the gospel. It is the beginning of Advent, after all. And Advent, at least for me, evokes images of bright and cheery things, such as our purple, pink, and white candles over here. Wonderful Christmas songs with hope-filled choruses, countdowns on Christmas calendars, things like the Charlie Brown Christmas program and the East County Christmas special. These are the images of Advent that I happen to love the most, that come to mind first when I think of this season, and that I'd most like to reflect on at the start of this sacred season. I promise you I want to. And yet, those things are not what we are going to get today. They're not what I can offer, at least not today, because they're not what we receive. Instead, we get, honestly, one of the most bizarre Advent passages the lectionary has to offer, Matthew 24. I can't remember this being an Advent passage for us before. I mean, it must have been, but I can't remember. This passage, with its echoes of mass death and deluge in the days of Noah, and the promise of someone planning to break into our homes, the true human being is coming like a thief in the night. Here is where we begin our sacred season. So, with that in mind, here's a question for you. Have you ever been known by a pseudonym, by a separate moniker, by a nickname of sorts, something everyone called you that somehow identified you, made you known to others in some mysterious way, some name that clarified not only what, but who you are? Lisa's family, when she was growing up, called her Weed in the affectionate way only a family could call someone Weed. Not, I should note, because she was noxious. It wasn't that at all, but because she grew quickly, faster than everyone else in her family. She is the tallest person in her entire family. Weed. Did you ever have a nickname like that? I've had just a few over the years. Some I've shared on occasions with you, but here's the full list. For a time, everyone on my soccer team when I was young picked names from popular cereals to be called. I was Special K. I wanted Lucky Charms, but someone else took it, so I got Special K. My mom actually continued to call me Special K into her 70s. A boyfriend of my mom's when I was little used to call me Kevbo from the TV show The Wonder Years, if you remember that show. I never loved it, to be honest. not the show, the name, Kevbo. It always made me feel like a little kid, and I didn't love it that this man I barely knew was convincing my mom to call me Kevbo. The boys on my baseball team, however, always called me McHale, as in Kevin McHale of the Boston Celtics, which was sort of odd because McHale played basketball and we were on a baseball team. Nevertheless, it stuck, and for years, even my coaches called me McHale. Since he was in the Hall of Fame, I didn't mind that much, to be honest with you. In any case, I wonder, how about you? Did your family and friends, or perhaps even you yourself, ever come up with interesting nicknames? There is this popular football commentator. Perhaps you know this guy if you're familiar with the NFL Network. There's this popular football commentator who to this day goes by one of the more unfortunate nicknames a person could have. His name is Booger McFarland. I'm not kidding. His colleagues on TV call him this with a straight face week in and week out. I marvel at it every time. So, Booger, what do you think about the box? And it makes me smile. You have to be one tough human being to have that as your nickname. He's 6 foot, 300 pounds, so he can get away with it. But the worst nickname I've ever heard, which I've shared with a few of you in the past, is this. It's my brother-in-law, Gary's sister's name. The woman is now in her 60s. But from the age of 5, her entire family has always and only ever referred to her as Boob. I'm not kidding. Honestly, they call her Boob so often, half the time I forget what her actual name is, and Lisa has to remind me. She is Boob to every adult and child, and now every in-law in the family. I should say, to be clear, it's Boob as in blunder. She was always making comical blunders as a child, not the anatomical part. But still, I mean, come on. Even after 28 years that I've been in the family now, I still have trouble addressing her as Boob. But I can never remember her real name, and so I always say, hey, you? Anyway, I mention all of that because of this, Matthew 24, and its notoriously odd nickname. Sociologists suggest that while nicknames may be silly, they are also revealingly significant. We get our nicknames for a reason. Those names reveal something about who we really are, who we have been, and who we will likely continue to be. Booger McFarlane was, as his parents say, a complete booger as a child. The fact is, he says, I was a bad kid. I got into a lot of wild stuff, which is why his mom gave him the nickname at the age of 2. And McFarlane says the name was just as fitting for him at 22. Nicknames are not simply silly, but in many ways, they're rather significant. We get them for a reason, and they are revealing. And of course, Boob and Booger are not the only ones who've been giving surprising sobriquets over the years. The Bible, as you know, is full of nicknames. And there is no one in all of Scripture who's been given more nicknames than, of course, Jesus. In fact, I've never known any human in the entire history of the world who has more nicknames than this one man. Just think for a moment about all of the names Jesus receives in Scripture. He is bread of life, bread from heaven, chief shepherd, good shepherd. He's called light and life, Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and end. We call him lamb and lion. We call him cornerstone, dayspring, and word. He is the path, the truth, the amen. Jesus is known as the door, the gate, the resurrection. I'm not done. He's the rock, living water, bridegroom, even bright morning star, which, curiously, he shares as a nickname with Satan, strangely. He is root, branch, and vine, and my personal favorite, as you all know, Mother Hen from Matthew chapter 23. Perhaps in your prayers, you have a favorite name for Jesus as well. But whatever your preference, here's the one thing all those nicknames have in common. Not one of them is in any way a negative nickname. We don't call him Booger or Boob. We call him Way and Word. We don't sing to Vulture or Serpent. We sing about Lion and Lamb. All his nicknames, the monikers by which we know Jesus, are almost universally positive. And if any one of those nicknames was given to us in our gospel passage today, well, I'd have a much more cheery Advent message for you. But as you may have noticed, not a single one of those nicknames made it into Matthew's message this morning on our first day of Advent. Not shepherd, not star, not life, not light. All the names that suit Advent season so well are absent today. The shepherd who cares for the sheep, not there. The star that shines in the night sky, not there. The life that comes into the world, the light that enlightens all women and men, Matthew and Jesus give us none of them, and instead offer something strikingly different. The name by which we know Jesus on this first Sunday of Advent, and note, this isn't a nickname his enemies pinned on him, trying to spread some bad press about him. This isn't like an election season where you try and name your opponent in some negative way that sticks and makes everyone else dislike them. No, this is a name that Jesus chooses himself, and apparently with pride. In fact, he even goes on to say the name reveals both who and how he is. So, just what is the surprising pseudonym that Jesus shares with us today? The true human being, he declares. The Son of Man, he says of himself. The hope of Advent is a thief in the night. This is how he announces who I am. which of course is the absolute last thing I want to hear during the Christmas season. And yet, when I turned to the commentaries for help to make sense of this strange nickname, I found they simply dodged, saying Jesus must have meant something like, I'm a surprise guest at Christmas supper, like an unannounced visitor at Thanksgiving dinner, like Lisa and my friend Dilaram and Raza from Iran, who couldn't get visas to come into the U.S. and then out of the blue texted us one evening and said not only were they in the U.S., they were in Portland, and could they come to our house that afternoon? That's a surprise guest. But that is not what Jesus gives us. If that's what he meant, something like unexpected guest, other analogies would have worked much better. But Jesus doesn't say he's a surprise visitor. Jesus calls himself thief. And I can't help but ask, why? Why would he offer himself such a name? How can we possibly reconcile thievery with names like lamb and life and light of the world? I don't know. I hear thief, suddenly boob and booger don't sound all that bad to me anymore. So what is going on here? And what does any of this have to do with Advent? Because it sounds like Jesus is saying as we enter into this sacred season, we should be preparing ourselves to be robbed by him. But can that be right? Because I've never heard that in any Christmas songs I've ever sung. But then again, just maybe, I don't know, what if thievery is precisely what Jesus means for us today as good news? What if he is actually saying that being a thief is the best news we could hear on the first day of Advent? What would that even mean? Well, when I asked myself that question, I just started to go with it to see what would happen. And here's my thought. Each Advent, as you know, we are called to make room for the long-awaited Christ, to prepare space for the glorious light and life that is coming. But, honestly, how do we make room if, in fact, our homes, spiritually speaking, are already filled to the rafters with clutter? And the answer, of course, is you can't make room when your houses, spiritually speaking, are filled to the rafters. And further, most of us, most of the time, honestly, have little inclination to send our spiritual junk to the dump. So what if, just maybe, Jesus comes as a thief exactly because we so desperately need it, need to be robbed? What if, just maybe, Jesus breaks in because our valuables have become liabilities and we need an intruder to sweep in and take what we won't willingly give up? What if what we need this Advent season is to be burgled? And just what is it that Jesus might steal from us this Advent season? I don't know. How about the bitterness that seems to plague our society at the moment? How about the angst that we carry around towards everyone on the other side of whatever lines we like to set? What if Jesus stole from us our society's collective sense of self-righteousness, that our way must definitely be the best way for everyone? What if Jesus stole from us the fears that we allowed to guide our politics every day? What if Jesus stole from us the lack of forgiveness that marks so many of our relationships? What if Jesus stole from us pride, jealousy, anxiety, anger? What if Jesus stole from us cynicism at everything that makes us uncomfortable? Or what if what Jesus needs to rob us of is first and foremost all the flags we carry around and the various allegiances they proclaim that are other than Christ? Or how about this? What if what Jesus has come to take away this Advent season is our religion whenever it gets in the way of goodness, grace, and love that Jesus came to proclaim? I mentioned earlier that I really do want to offer some cheery Advent news for you today, something hopeful. But what if all this thievery actually is good news after all? Or at least a first step towards good news, an Advent burglary, robbing us of all that prevents us from truly welcoming Christ and one another. Of course, I admit, a thief in the night prowling outside our homes, stealthy and silent, doesn't necessarily evoke Advent. Thievery doesn't exactly speak Christmas spirit. But on this first Sunday of the season, maybe, just maybe, thievery is exactly what we need to get ourselves going. Perhaps it's what our world needs as well. I am, Jesus declares apparently unabashedly, I am the thief in the night. Happy Advent and Merry Christmas. To which I now suggest, perhaps we should all respond, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.